This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Raise Your Game on Enterprise. I'm Christine Wong. And there are plenty of misconceptions about the idea of work culture. What does that term even mean? In an age of open offices and flexible hours, it can be difficult to discern what actually works and what doesn't. So today, I'm here with Derek To and John Hia to talk all about the idea of work culture and how they created WorkCulture.Asia as a community for people who want to get in on that work culture discourse. So first of all, thank you guys so much for coming in today.
All right, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for inviting us.
All right, well, what does work culture mean to you guys?
Yeah, so one of the most common misconceptions I find about work culture is that when people hear work culture, they think about all these tech companies like Google and Facebook. You need to have like a pool table or it's about flexible hours. But I tell people most of the time, these are more signals or symptoms of a certain kind of culture. But ultimately, work culture basically means how the majority of people in your company behave, right? Or are expected to behave. That kind of sets the culture for every company. It's just purely the behavior of people. And every company actually has a culture. It's just that most companies don't try to design it or try to pay attention to it. They just let the loudest person in the room dictate what kind of culture they actually have.
I think Derek got it down to the T already in terms of what culture is. It's generally the unwritten rules of the organization and how people react to situations, how they make decisions, how they interact with each other. I think that's what really work culture is all about.
So why do companies tend to forgo thinking about culture in an active way?
It's largely due to that lack of understanding. That's one thing. And the conversation about culture has only started fairly recently, I think, especially in terms of like people talk about it in Malaysia or Asia. So there are a lot of businesses out there, they feel that they've done really well, you know, without actually thinking about culture. So many of them, when we first start having this conversation, they will start, you know, they feel like, what's this about? You know, is this just like a millennial thing? You know, is it real? So it gets ignored very often, but they don't realize that their companies actually have a culture. It's just they didn't pay attention to it.
Yeah, that's right. I think it's just undefined. And because you don't really look at it as a culture thing. It's not tagged. It's not labeled. So when it's not labeled, right, then people just overlook it. It's just not something we need to look at because we're delivering numbers and people are leaving, people are coming. It's all HR's problem. Also, I think a lot of Malaysian companies look at it like sort of like a fun, fluffy thing. I think a misconception, like Derek mentioned. And they can't seem to tie it directly to the revenue they're generating, the numbers. I think that's where WorkCulture.Asia has come in, and we've tried to like sort of peg it to KPIs and peg it to the business aspect of it and have it tied down to your bottom line as well. I think culture leads to your bottom line. But if you don't look at it, then generally it just looks like a fluffy thing to have, nice to have.
Would you say that there's also a misconception about it being a Western thing, especially in Malaysia and in Asia in general? I think we tend to focus on being corporate, so work is work. And I think maybe Western companies were the spearheader of what we now think of as work culture. Would you agree?
Yes, I've seen the conversation definitely started in the West. Like there are a lot of American companies that started focusing on culture. And because of that, you're absolutely correct. Like in Asia right now, many companies feel that that's not really me. That's not really us, actually. So it doesn't really matter. But the reality is also is there are a lot of Western companies that are in Malaysia as well, right? And a lot of their ideas about culture are actually happening right here, you know, in the country, in Asia. So even if you're a local Malaysian company, as much as you want to ignore it, you are influenced by it. Your people are influenced by it. Like the people that work in your company can see this happening in another company that's just down the road. So it's tricky to continue to ignore it. But definitely it is coming from the West.
I think you're right. The Malaysians, I think, especially in Asia, it's always numbers driven. They're always looking at revenues, they're looking at profits, they're looking at processes and systems. And every time someone does something wrong, right, they kind of implement a new process or a new policy, a new rule, rather than look at whether culture can help cultivate good habits and good decision-making rather than just implementing new rules and stuff. So it's always numbers-driven. And like Derek mentioned, I think now with American firms or European and Western firms coming in here a lot, right, and with the flow of information technology and social media especially, right, a lot of new talent coming into the industry, into the market, right, are aware of such good practices And I think Malaysian firms have to like start to step up and take notice.
So what are some of the ways that improving your work culture can actually benefit, for example, the whole numbers aspect of your business?
So the term culture refers to how people actually behave, right? And the way your people behave also plays a big role in determining how well your business does. So when we talk about culture a lot of people seem to think it's about pampering your team, right? It's nothing to do with pampering our team. Like you look at our the values we have in our company, such as move fast, raise your standards. It's all about helping the team push boundaries, you know, deliver great results. And we spell this out clearly as an expectation. So on a daily basis, if you walk into our company, you can see that the people are very entrepreneurial. They're very driven to achieve results. And that actually directly links to the performance of the business. They tell the team up front, you are walking into a company that's very entrepreneurial. You're expected to take initiative. You're expected to use our resources really efficiently, to take a lot of smart risks in this company. And that is basically a business-driven environment.
If an organization's goal is purely numbers and you rule with a whip or an iron fist, right, that's your culture and that's fine. So you attract people that way. If your culture is not that defined that way, right, then you'll attract people who will resonate with your culture. So in Pulse, it's slightly different. We're very family-oriented, focused culture, and we're very fun-oriented. And we tend to attract that sort of talent. And we want everyone to be really creative, and that helps with generating ideas for our industry.
So really, it's kind of about setting a precedent for the kind of people that you want to further the goals that your particular company has. And I think in line with that, leadership plays a really, really important part in culture that I think people don't talk about. So in line with that, how important is it for leaders to actually look at their companies, especially entrepreneurs who are starting up their own companies, to shape their culture?
I think leadership is the most critical aspect of shaping work culture. When it comes to work culture, it is only to do with leadership. It's always a top-down thing with culture. I think if you don't believe in it or you don't practice it right, then it'll just cascade down and it'll never happen.
100%. Like, I think when a company is really small, let's say there are 5 or 6 people in the company, right? The leader obviously plays a big role in deciding what is acceptable behavior and what is not. And everyone can actually look at the leader very closely at how he or she behaves. And that really dictates culture. So even without thinking, right, the leader is already playing a big role in setting that culture. But what I find really, really interesting is that when the company grows, right, and it hits like 50 people, 100 people, 500 people, 1,000 people, suddenly it's not the leader that's deciding what culture it is. They start delegating this to HR. That becomes really, really tricky. They see culture as more of a HR-related issue when ultimately, actually, it should come from the top. It 100% should actually start with the leader. They are the ones that decide what is acceptable behavior and what is not. And people always look to the leader.
I think expanding on that a little, right? If you notice our workculture.asia events, right, we tend to get a lot of corporate HR people being sent. So you don't exactly see the C-suites or the upper senior management attending our events. They actually send their whole HR teams.
It's a start for us, right?
Yeah,
like, okay,
start.
If we have to talk to your HR, we will. But eventually you want to get through to like the C-suite and the leaders.
Well, all right, it's time to take a quick break for some music. But after that, I'll continue speaking to Derek To and John Hia about the concept that they have that culture is not an HR goal. It is a business goal. So stay tuned to BFM 89.9 for more on that discussion.
Building first world mindsets. BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Raise Your Game on Enterprise. I'm Christine Wong. And before the break, I was speaking to Derek To and John Hia about the concept of work culture and what it actually means. But now I'd actually like to discuss this community called workculture.asia. Before the break, we were also discussing about the fact that when you guys host events, and we'll talk a little bit more about what workculture.asia is and how it works in a little bit. But when you host events, a lot of the time HR people are who get sent to you. Why is it that you say that culture, work culture, is not an HR goal, it is a business goal?
The reason why some companies think of it as a HR goal is because they think of it more as a way to attract and retain talent. And that is true, but it's only half the story. Because culture is basically how people behave. A lot of Malaysian companies right now, they have a culture, but they don't think of it as culture. But when they are telling their staff, you should do this, you shouldn't do that, this is acceptable, this is not acceptable, here's the policy in the company, you're expected to behave like this, they're basically actually setting culture, right? You're telling the team, not the HR person. On the day-to-day basis, when someone is working in your company, they're working with you, right, as a business, in the leader, and what you say to them, what you tell them to do and what they can't do, it's all culture, right? So it is definitely a business goal to figure out for every individual company what exactly their culture is. And when you can figure that out, it actually makes the other things really easy, like how you want to make decisions, what kind of people you want to hire, who you want to promote, who you want to fire. All those things just come through very naturally once you set the foundation for your culture.
It's quite an easy thing to associate it with HR because it's people related. If it's how people behave, then naturally you figure out that culture is people. So people relates to HR, so I'll leave it to HR, sort it out. But at the end of the day, it's all about behavior. So actually everybody plays a major role. And it comes down to leadership to set that direction and course.
So let's talk about different kinds of work culture that you can have. Because as we discussed earlier, work culture as a term doesn't just describe the startup mentality that a lot of people think it describes.
I remember I was like giving a talk somewhere and a CEO was telling me that if people were late, they actually locked the door at like 9 o'clock. So I actually asked her, like, isn't that going a little bit too far? But she actually said, in my business, because we deal with safety all the time, discipline is the number one most important trait that my team needs to have. And if people are late or they fail to follow certain rules, other people die or they get hurt. When she was explaining that to me, I understood. I don't agree with how it was done, but I can see what she was trying to achieve. So that kind of dictates one kind of culture that if you go to, say, some large companies, like, say, multinational companies where they work really long hours, you know, they work to like 11, 12 midnight, and you have people like really aggressively pushing growth all the time, that's one kind of culture. 9 to 6 kind of culture is also a different type of company. So you can see like every company really does have a way of behaving. I never really advocate the best type of culture.
Yeah, I've also met quite a lot of entrepreneurs, and one of them told me, no, my only value is money. Everything else doesn't really matter to me, because he came from a rather tough life and he just wanted money. So his organization is run purely on numbers. And he just says, I don't care whatever they do, just deliver numbers. Just sales, 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 sales. I don't care if there's infighting, politicking, lack of teamwork. He said, it's all good. I just want the numbers delivered every month. And that's fine too. That's his culture. And as the business owner, he drives the culture. So that's one sort of culture. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at culture, for us, it's changed over time. In the early days, we used to work like from 9:30 in the morning until midnight in the office. Everyone was in office and everyone just stayed back. We had dinner together. Everyone worked really hard. What happened was, as it progressed suddenly, right, we were going home earlier and earlier. And we advocated shorter working hours, more flexible. We still come in very early. It's part of our culture. 9:30 is like a fixed thing. Everybody must be in office at 9:30. But by 4 plus 5 sometimes, the bosses are gone already and everyone else is allowed to go back slightly earlier. So I think culture changes as we progress, and that's one sort of culture as well. So we've gone through two different phases of our culture change.
So we talked about the concept of work culture, but you guys specifically talk about it so much that you actually wanted to create a community of people to talk about it some more, which is workculture.asia. So how did you guys actually start creating this community?
I started WARP about 4 years ago, and WARP, as a job platform, we focused a lot on culture. So in the early days, it was all about helping companies share what kind of culture they have and use that to kind of attract talent. Now, it was really hard because in those days, a lot of Malaysian companies didn't really resonate with that message. But Juan, with his previous event company, was one of the few people that reached out directly to me and said, hey, I like what you're building. Like, can I list on your platform? And that kind of sparked our friendship, right? But it didn't jump straight into us wanting to build Work Culture Asia. It was after maybe another, what, two years or so. Right? And we kept in contact and we had conversations. And one day we just had coffee and, you know, Juan was saying, you know what, Derek, like, it can't just be us. You know, maybe there are more people out there like us who actually do care about culture, or at least they're very curious. Like, they want to know what is going on. So why don't we start the community? So that's kind of like how it first started. So we did like small-scale events. We invited people from different industries. Most of them are not from tech, right? This is a surprising thing for a lot of people. To come and share about how they design culture in their company, how they use it as a business strategy, how they use it as a talent strategy. And over time, you can see it snowballing and the community is getting bigger and more people come to our events now.
So for people who are unsure of how to be aware of their work culture or how to actually shape their culture, What are the kind of first steps to actually managing your company's work culture?
I think for me, the first thing would be to actually look at it and be able to identify and be aware of how your culture operates. I think that would be the first step. If you're looking to start up and you want to create your culture, I think the go back to fundamentals, like how Warp has done it very well, is to define the values. I think the values are the most basic fundamental stuff that drives your culture, because that kind of is kind of the foundation for everything. If you know your values are set and you know how to behave, defining the behaviors associated with each value, then it's kind of easy to be able to steer and define your work culture.
Start looking at the people in your company that are doing well, right, are getting promoted, or you really treasure them, you think they are the stars of the company, and start seeing what are the similarities in terms of their behavior. That's kind of how you figure out what kind of culture you have or what ideally you want to have, right? And when you start drawing out guidelines, and we use core values to put it in writing as to what these behaviors actually are. Here's the next step, though. You have to build it into the system, right? You have to build it into the processes, the rituals of the company, so that on a daily basis, people are put in a situation where they have to practice that certain behavior. So I think that's really important too.
All right. Well, unfortunately, that's actually about all the time that we have today to talk about work culture and also Work Culture Asia as well. If you guys are interested in attending some of Work Culture Asia's events and stuff, I think you can find them on like Facebook, I would imagine, and stuff like that. Just have a Google.
Google Work Culture Asia, you'll find us.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. If you want to learn more about work culture. But for now, thank you so much to Derek To from WOB and Juan Hia from Pulse for talking to me all about the concept of work culture today. If you have missed any of this interview, go ahead and download the app from the Apple App Store and or Google Play, where you can listen to and download the podcast. But you can also, if you're not inclined to do that via mobile, head over to our website, bfm.my, to do all of that too. I'm Christine Wong. You've been listening to Raise Your Game on Enterprise. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.